Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you with an all-new edition of Phillies Today. The offseason now officially in full swing with free agency opening up earlier this week, rumors starting to fly around Twitter and social media as well. Like I said before, like I said last week, I will have all the coverage you need this offseason, so thank you once again for tuning in. Have a bunch of stuff to talk about today, including some rumors already coming about. We had some good John Middleton quotes from his sit-down with Matt Gelb of The Athletic earlier this week, and of course, it would not be an offseason edition of Phillies Today without an Andrew Painter Arizona Fall League update. So I will give you that as well, and we will see where all of that gets us. So, but before I get started here, I just want to say this. I already miss baseball so much, man. Like, I'm already in full offseason mode just thinking how we can, you know, rearrange this team and get the Phils to where they want to go or to where they've been trying to get to, and that is a World Series title, of course. And, like, the Eagles are figuring it out, which is awesome, and Sixers and Flyers in shambles, frankly. But there's something about being able to turn the Phils on every night that I just miss and I yearn for it. And I'm already counting down the days until the boys get back to Clearwater. And honestly, it feels like there's some positive vibes around the Phils this week after the John Middleton Athletic article dropped. And that's what I want to get to first here. So Matt Gelb of The Athletic sat down with Phillies owner John Middleton. I believe it was in San Antonio, Texas at the, there was a little owner's meeting down there. And I encourage everyone listening to go and read it because it really was awesome stuff. And Gelb always does a great job with his coverage in general. But this was finally what fans wanted to read or hear after the division series loss to the Mets in terms of some actual anger and emotion following a very disappointing postseason. First, Middleton talks about how bitter, of course, that series left him, and that he spoke to Dave Dombrowski the day after and how things needed to be changed and that running it back and it just, you know, quote, being just baseball isn't going to be, you know, their mentality and isn't going to, you know, be how their offseason plays out. And he talked about how quick Dombrowski was to bring everyone from the front office together and that they needed to be, you know, very strategic about how they go about rearranging the team. And it sort of leads me to believe that Dave is just, you know, being really careful about not tipping his hand and, you know, showing his cards and exposing how he wants to go about making these changes this offseason, which is kind of what I thought all along, but I still thought that he could have gone about the press conference differently to end the season. And bringing back the coaching staff, that's all fine. Like, I don't think that that was primarily the issue in the postseason as to why, you know, the offense went quiet the way that they did the last, you know, the last two postseasons. Kevin Long, whatever, maybe it brings Juan Soto here, but Rob Thompson, I had no problem with bringing him back. But I don't understand, just, it felt like so passive, and it felt like just a non-aggressive way of, you know, you're allowed to say that we were disappointed in how things ended. And it just felt like they kind of punted on doing that. But you don't need to say that you're, you know, actively shopping anybody or you're looking to upgrade third base and left field, which they do. But I understand not being specific in that sense. But what you could have said is what Middleton did here. And you're mad and you're bitter about how the season went and that we need to go about things differently. And it really just feels like John Middleton always understands the pulse of this fan base. And every time he speaks, I just feel better about things, which is why he's such a good owner, in addition to him, of course, spending all that money. But he also talked about how the approach of guys that they currently have needs to change, which I think is interesting, given what some of the players like Turner and Boehm said after the loss to the Mets about being aggressive hitters and that just being who they are and that not changing. Middleton gave an interesting example about Roy Halladay and how he essentially changed the way he pitched multiple times throughout his career, and that he spoke to his father about it, who was his first coach, who kind of taught him how to pitch, and just how much he had to adjust throughout his career and to change his repertoire. And he was just always reforming the way that he pitched, and whether it was incorporating new pitches or tinkering things with his mechanics, he never wanted to become predictable. And Middleton said that he also spoke to Mike Schmidt about something similar, and that throughout his career he had multiple different swings and approaches. So in terms of some of the swing and miss chase happy guys like Trey Turner, specifically Castellanos in there, this is something that he feels they need to develop and they just simply have to stop chasing. And I'm somebody who kind of needs to see it before I believe it. And I've talked about it since the season ended that guys like Trey and Casty, I'm not sure at this point if they can alter things. But I also do love how Middleton is putting pressure on them to do so. Basically saying, look, you're taken care of for the rest of your career financially from us. You need to start doing the things that are going to help change the dynamic of this lineup, or else the team's going to struggle to win in the postseason. So we'll see if that ends up materializing or not. But it's good to see him being candid about that and just, speaking the truth and speaking what everybody, feels. And he also talked about what I thought was even more interesting about possible external changes in addition to, the internal reforms that the organization has to make this season. And I want to read a specific quote from the article that I found to be very compelling about, potentially bringing people from the outside in via free agency or trade this offseason and, what could lead to that. He says, when asked about the potential changes from the outside, he quote, some of the solutions to what we need to do have to come from the outside, be it a free agent or trade. That process is just starting. I don't know how those dominoes are going to fall, but we certainly have ideas and everybody's pushing. Dave is the guy who's leading the charge there. You have to be very creative. We have to be willing to think about things that we maybe weren't willing to think about in the last two off seasons, unquote. To me, that means they're basically willing to break up the core a little bit, which it seems like they weren't willing to do the past couple of offseasons, which he alluded to there. And the guy, to me, who brings you some value and just seems like the primary trade candidate to move off of this offseason is Alec Boehm. Bob Nightingale even reported this week that the Phillies are reportedly listening to Castellanos, Boehm, and Brandon Marsh. And while I think you can get something of value from all three of those guys, I just see Boehm as somebody who gets the most in return out of all those three that could help you right now. And it feels like Nick has been shopped around the past couple of offseasons. I just don't know that you're going to get something in return that's more productive than what he is in this lineup and what he is in this clubhouse as well. Although they may try to capitalize on the good postseason he just had, I will say. Marsh is young, but I think the league sort of knows that he's kind of just the guy rather than the pillar to build around for your franchise. And you have Boehm coming off of, starting in the All-Star game, and it's obviously a high-caliber player, and he's a very good hitter, but he's had these rough moments over the course of his Phillies career, including in the postseason and even the little attitude problems when he struggled in the second half. He got, that incident in Kansas City where the team, smoked the Royals, but he was still, kind of whining about how he went 0-for-4, and you could see it in the dugout, and the players were all, I think, kind of turned off by that, but I could be wrong, but that's just me speculating. But no, I got off track for a minute there and wanted to just share my thoughts on the potential major changes there. But getting back to Middleton, he also talked about the news that came across this week of adding new minority owners to the Phillies, three of them to be exact, which only helps in a capitalist league and in an age where, having as many financial resources as you can is imperative to improving a ball club. Also, the fact that they're looking to build up the area around CBP eventually and make improvements to the facility in Clearwater. Mitch Morgan, who's one of the, primary guys as part of this group, has, ties to construction and ties to property management. So that makes sense there. And These are things that, you know, help in terms of enticing free agents to come here even more and just improves the base of the organization and, of course, the fan base experience as well. And, you know, they want to be able to showcase Citizens Bank Park and the entire, you know, sports complex and area around the stadium to the entire league when the All-Star game comes here in 2026. So that is good to see as well. Overall, I just want to reiterate before I move on from this that I just love John Middleton and how committed he is to making this organization a consistent winner and not going back to the 2012 through 18 years, basically just doing everything he can from an effort and finance standpoint to make the Phillies a potential juggernaut like the Dodgers have become. And it's just being great in all areas, whether it's data and analytics, whether it's the farm system, whether it's the scouting, just being able to be the best in all areas. And the Dodgers have, you know, built the model for that. That is what the gold standard is, and that's what you want to become. And that is what I think John Middleton is trying to reform or form this franchise into. So that was kind of my big overall takeaways from the article. And it was a really good one. Again, I encourage you to read it on the Athletic, or at the Athletic, Matt Gelb. Definitely a good read that'll get you excited for this offseason. So Noah started to touch on it earlier as I move on here, but I had some free agency thoughts that have been running through my mind this week. So I wanted to share some of those as reports have been starting to come down early here in the offseason. And my first thought is going to be about Jeff Hoffman, All-Star this year, one of the Phillies' better relievers over the past couple seasons, who has been a stalwart in the Phillies' bullpen over the past 2 years since the team discovered him and or discovered his stuff when pitching to Bryce Harper during his rehab from his elbow surgery. So for those that don't know, Jeff Hoffman is a former first-round pick, a high pick in that draft, I believe, who did not really work out as a starter with the Rockies and ended up, you know, going to the bullpen with Cincinnati and eventually flourished with the Phillies. And now some of the reports over the past week or so, I think it's Kylie McDaniel, I believe his name is, of ESPN had it first. The reports have indicated that Jeff Hoffman could potentially gain some interest in the market as a starting pitcher and convert back to that role from the bullpen, similar to how Jordan Hicks and Ronaldo Lopez, to name a couple guys, did in the past couple of years. And now I think this is the case because, you know, obviously he has experience as a starter first and foremost, but I think he might be able to do it just because he has a pretty good four-pitch mix. And typically you see guys out of the bullpen have a two-pitch, maybe three-pitch mix. But Hoffman throws, you know, four pretty decent pitches a good amount. And it's his four-seam slider, of course, and he also has a sinker and split. And he throws them at a high enough clip to where they're effective. So that is probably the rationale behind it. I hope it isn't true, obviously, because it feels like he probably gets more money than he would if he was in the bullpen, and probably more money than the Phillies are willing.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
An offer if becoming a starter comes to fruition, but it's definitely something to monitor as the offseason rolls along, which would in turn mean the Phillies are probably looking for a high-leverage reliever. Maybe Tanner Scott? No, he's a lefty, but he's been connected to the Phillies a little. Was at the deadline last year and was pretty important to the Padres' pen after being shipped there from the Marlins. But the question, and anytime I hear Tanner Scott's name, I just think about, can he trust him considering he gave up a walk-off home run to Garrett Stubbs a couple years ago? I mean, I'm joking, but that was brutal. Anyway, while I'm on the subject of pitching, Bob Nightingale's article yesterday was pretty interesting regarding Garrett Crochet, who many know that the Phillies pursued at the deadline this past season. Bob said in his article that, quote, the White Sox have openly told teams that Garrett Crochet is available and are expecting to trade him by the end of the winter meetings, with the Philadelphia Phillies and the Dodgers being the most aggressive, unquote. I'd be fine with getting Crochet, but I just don't know what I'm willing to give up prospect-wise for him, considering his hesitancy in the past to move to the bullpen. I know he's been really good as a starter, and I would be very happy with him being a starter for a full year, and he pitched at a very high level, like I just said. But to me, that feels like they're probably moving off Ranger, and I'm still at a point with Ranger where I think that if they can manage his innings, he could still be incredibly effective in this rotation, and I still like Ranger as a Philly moving forward, and I love Chris Sanchez as well, so I guess it could be a thing of having too many lefties, even though I don't typically believe in that. But I just think that Crochet's hesitancy to kind of help a winning team in that way, and just the way he kind of went about not wanting to move to the bullpen and being very vocal about it at the trade deadline, gives me a little pause and room for concern. But he is a very talented pitcher, and he is still on the upswing, it feels like. So maybe once he comes here, he's able to get even better once you get him with Caleb Cotham and this coaching staff, because we've seen the amount that some of these guys have improved since they've come to the Phillies. And who's to say Garrett Crochet can't be one of those guys as well? But again, if it's too expensive prospect-wise, I'm not giving up any of the, you know, big-time prospects in the Phillies system right now. So maybe it's an Alec Boehm for Crochet, just 1v1 or 1-for-1 swap, but still not sure how I feel about the Garrett Crochet rumors there. But speaking of pitching, I want to bring this up again too. Leads me right into what I've been thinking about this week, and that is, does Dave Dombrowski potentially get aggressive and try to reunite with Scherzer or Verlander? Both of the guys are free agents. I know both have their injury troubles, and both are clearly old. But to get one of these guys to maybe just create a bridge to Andrew Painter, I think would be really cool. And having them is not only an insurance plan if somebody gets hurt, but someone to mentor the young guys like Painter, like Sanchez, I think would be really cool. And obviously, both have won at the highest level. They've won World Series. And I'd be pretty interested in exploring that possibility. And something interesting with Verlander, as I was kind of diving into it a little bit here, is I know he had a bad last year and he was injured, but while he was out there, he was not great. I don't think he made the Astros postseason roster even, and it was a struggle for him. 5.48 ERA, which is clearly not good. But his expected stats were actually much better than that once I took a look. He had an expected ERA of 3.88, which is actually the same as Ronaldo Lopez, who a lot of people thought, you know, was one of the best pitchers in the National League this year. So Verlander also not giving up a lot of hard contact with his advanced metrics showing that. So I wouldn't mind like a one-year $15 million deal or something like that. That is potentially, you know, intriguing to the Phillies. I think it would be. And obviously, Dave Dombrowski has the rapport with both of those guys. And I just think that with Painter, you know, potentially coming up in the middle of the year and having one of them to start, you know, in the rotation to begin the year, and, you know, you can manage their innings because then you bring up Painter and you could either go six man or you could, you know, move somebody to the bullpen. I think that that would be probably the better move than going out and getting Crochet. I know Crochet might be a higher level pitcher right now, but remember, when you sign someone in free agency, you don't have to give up any prospects, and I am always in favor of that. So last thing free agency wise I wanted to get into real quick before I give you my Andrew Painter update is I want to talk about Alex Bregman. I know I talked about him last week a little bit, but the more time that goes on and the more I think about it, the more interested I am in exploring bringing Bregman here for, you know, a few different reasons. If you were to ask me a few months ago, I would have said that I didn't like the fit and that, you know, Bregman's best days are definitely behind him and that, you know, it's probably one of those contracts where it doesn't age well. In the last couple of years, you know, you're getting a player that's certainly out of his prime and you're not even sure how much they contribute anymore. But the more I look at him, the more I think his bat profile is really well in this lineup. And if they get off of Boehm, He obviously slides in perfectly as a really good defensive third baseman who can hit higher in the lineup, can work a good at-bat between Bryce and Schwarber, and could be in the two-hole potentially, and then you can move Trey down, and you know maybe that takes some of the load off of Trey, and he feels a little bit less pressure and can kind of, you know, have some of the ease taken off of his shoulders. And who knows how the lineup even shakes out next year. I know a lot of people are talking about Schwarber potentially moving out of the leadoff spot, and you know if that does happen, Bryce Harper would be my pick. But you know, if you listen to this podcast, you know me. I am a Schwarber leadoff stan. But anyway, Bregman, 94th percentile on strikeout rate, 98th percentile on whiff rate, and 82nd percentile on chase rate. So I'm starting to like all of those numbers, and I just like the idea of Bregman for, you know, pure guess purposes here. I'm thinking probably it's going to be a 4 to 5 year deal worth somewhere between, you know, 20 to 22 million a year AAV wise. And I think it could get done. And I know there are other teams interested for sure. I know the Blue Jays will be. You know, Houston will certainly look at bringing him back as well. But I just think this, between all that stuff and, of course, the postseason experience, like he has had success in these spots before. I'm really starting to get intrigued by the idea of Alex Bregman, even if his best baseball might be behind him. And I just think he fits with this team well. He's a good clubhouse guy. I know a lot of, you know, people like him in terms of, you know, his relationships with the Astros and, you know, different guys he's, you know, interacted with throughout baseball. And I just think that Alex Bregman is somebody who, you know, could get me excited this offseason. And if you, you know, trade Boehm, maybe get a, you know, high leverage reliever or a closer for Boehm or something else of value there, that's how you improve a team, is you bring in a new third baseman and you upgrade somewhere else. And I just think that that's probably the easiest path to upgrade this ball club. So I'm starting to get in on Alex Bregman, and, you know, as great as Juan Soto would be, and look, I am obviously all in favor of signing Juan Soto. He would be a perfect fit to this ball club, and he is just a phenomenal player. He's 26 years old. There's nothing bad I can say about him, but it really does feel like a Mets and a Yankees race, I'm not going to lie. And I would be shocked if he ended up leaving New York, but I am a little surprised, though, at what the odds makers are, you know, saying about Juan Soto here. And there are teams like the Blue Jays and the Nationals above the Phillies. Like, that surprises me. I really thought that it would be between the New York teams, the Phillies, and the Dodgers. You know, maybe the Blue Jays or maybe the Cubs, just a couple teams like that in there. But yeah, I'm really surprised about the Soto odds that have just been going around. It feels like Vegas thinks the Phillies have no chance. And, you know, I think they'll be involved. But again, I think he probably ends up staying in New York, whether it is with the Mets or the Yankees. So, all right. Before we get out of here, I would be remiss not to mention Andrew Painter's latest Arizona Fall League start. And spoiler, he shoved again. Painter tossed three more shutout innings in the Arizona Fall League on Tuesday, his first hitless outing of the year, where his line was three innings, no hits, no runs, a walk, and two strikeouts, and he touched 101 in this start. Man, I just can't wait for him. I am so excited for him to finally get out to CBP this year. And he is an ERA just above 2 in the Arizona Fall League so far, and he is looking like the prospect that everyone has been dreaming about and everyone has been, you know, tantalizing over, and he just seems like he is the real deal, and I'm very excited for him to finally get up with the big club this year and, you know, be the guy who we all expect him to be. So he's doing everything that he is supposed to be doing in the Arizona Fall League, and that is great to see as well. Also, before I get out of here, speaking of guys on the farm, I want to, you know, shout out real quick. And if you haven't watched or listened yet, make sure to check out Fritz and Seltzer's recent interview with Aiden Miller, who was really cool with the two of them and gave a lot of good information just about, you know, being drafted to the Phillies, coming up through the minors so far, and just how excited he is to eventually get here to Philadelphia. And it's a great interview. It got me really excited, just as excited as I am for Andrew Painter, and he's the number one position player prospect in the Philly system. So it's a good deep dive into, you know, who he is as a person and who he is as a player. So, and of course, Jack and James do a great job as always. So if you haven't yet, definitely go on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast, and it'll be up there on their High Hopes page. So it was a really good interview, and I totally recommend listening to it if you're trying to find out more about Aiden Miller. So that is where we're at on the farm, and with that, I'll put a wrap on this edition of Phillies Today. Thank you, as always, for listening, and we will be back next week, of course. And, you know, as I typically say during the off season before I sign off, Dave Dombrowski, go get something done. Get us excited, baby. For Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstein. We'll see you, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.